Welcome back to Talking Comics. This is awesome.
Thank you.
We'll just jump right in. We got, you know, you've been here before. Benjamin Hunting joining us back. He was here on episode 55 about 6 months ago or so. October, I think, is when I released that episode.
Yeah, I think so.
When you had Model UN on Kickstarter.
That's correct.
And I went back and watched the episode today because I have updated, you know, I have my fun questions at the end and I've updated them for returning guests. So,
good.
You know, a little bit. So, but man, tell us how you've been, how things going, how'd that Kickstarter go?
That Kickstarter went well. We were a little bit overfunded and it went out and everybody was happy. And I assume everyone's happy because no one complained. So that's always a good start. This time around, we're back on a project that we had taken a bit of a break from, Dead Air, and that's a project that I had started with my co-creators, Joe Ng and Angie Hodge. I want to say 2022, maybe 2023, and we had to take a year or so off for some health reasons, and now everyone is back in the Dead Air world, which is nice. I didn't realize how much I missed being with these characters and building this story until I really got back into it over the last 4 or 5 months. And this is the third issue in the series. It's about a world where one day out of the year, you can talk to the dead. And the characters live in two different time periods. We see them in the late 90s or mid to late 90s when they're in university and they're all DJs at a university radio station. And then we see them 15 years later when this technology has been invented, when they've gone, you know, in their separate ways in their adult lives, and they reconnect because one of them uses this technology, which is called DTalk, to reach out to someone from their shared past because she feels guilty about a tragedy that occurred and she wants to apologize for what she feels is her responsibility for that happening. And when she does that, she discovers that what they thought happened all those years ago didn't happen at all the way that they had originally conceived it. So the crux of the story is you have this group of friends in the 90s. We see them, you know, high energy, excited about life, you know, that period of time where your friendships are very intense and everything is very immediate, leading up to an event that kind of shatters their friend group. And then 15 years later, picking up the pieces, getting back together to try and solve the mystery of what actually happened and whether there's anything they can do about it. For me, it's really a story about friendship and how friendship changes over time and how we as people change and that affects our relationships with others.
That's awesome, man. That's a... So you're coming back to this. How long ago did you start that project, 1 and 2?
You know what? I'm going to look on Kickstarter right now because the exact year, I want to say it was 2022 or 2023. It was just after we had finished our first collaboration together, the three of us, and we wanted to try something new. So Kickstarter will definitely tell me. I'm clicking on it now. It was... Oh, that's not helpful. Kickstarter always shows you the date of the last update, which is like,
yeah.
So I'm going to say 2023. That's when we had started that. And then we did the second issue very close. And then we had about a year and a half off in between 2 and 3. So now we're back in the series.
Sweet. What's your plans moving forward from here on that one?
Probably going to wrap it up with an oversized issue number 4. Probably something around 40, 45 pages. That's kind of looking how the story arc is going.
Sweet. Yeah. And then working maybe do an anthology at the end for...
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that's always a possibility. We'll see how well-received things are. We had a lot of really great support on the first 2 books. And things on the Kickstarter right now, we're about halfway through. I think it's like 15 days left. And we're just close to 75% funded. But what's interesting is, you know, it's been some time since the other issue and longer than we've ever had in between issues before.
Okay.
And it's also a difficult time for a lot of people for a variety of reasons. And it's changing, I think, how crowdfunding is right now and how many people come back versus how many people are maybe waiting for later on. So it's been an interesting process. We're back in the physical world in terms of print.
You jumped the gun. I actually have that written down. That was a big thing on the last episode you were on. You know, there was just no way to do printing for that Kickstarter.
No.
And then I noticed on here when I was looking it up, like, you're back to print.
Yeah, we've We're working with shippers and customs brokers and filing huge amounts of paperwork that I can't even begin to describe.
Right.
To make sure that this can be shipped to the United States and in a lot of places around the world. We're offering the book itself pretty much everywhere. Some of the rewards are a little bit restricted in terms of Europe because of they changed some laws for product safety. So we're able to offer the book, but not necessarily everything that goes, not all the other rewards that go with it. But the United States is open to all of our rewards.
Okay, cool.
And that's where most of our readers are. So that's, you know, kind of a non-negotiable thing for us to be able to do that.
Right. That's awesome. I'm happy you were able to overcome that hurdle that changed enough to...
It's going to be interesting because it's going to take a lot longer to fulfill than normal. Just the amount of filing that has to be done for every package that goes out. But, you know, it's the cost of doing business right now. And we're happy to do it to make sure that the people who have supported us all this time are able to get the next issue in the series.
But it doesn't appear, I mean, I didn't click through to like a shipping price, but it doesn't appear like your pricing has gone up tremendously to be able to do it.
It's about 30% more. For us to send to the States now, a lot of that is broker fees. I have a non-negotiable percentage of every shipment that goes to a broker, whereas in the past, there was a concept called de minimis, which was the ability to ship to the United States any item below $800. And in that case, it would not go through regular customs channels from a customs and duty perspective. But now everything goes through customs. And to go through customs, you need a broker. So unless you're willing to set yourself up as a broker, I know some people who have done that, but it involves a lot of legwork and being present at, you know, border crossings and customs clearance. And it's a lot.
How far are you from the border?
5 miles.
Oh, but, wow. You that's could not, make it.
But that's not necessarily where the truck that has all the stuff right, that has, in it goes. That's, you know, it's right. Like those things are uncontrollable.
It's going to be like in, you know, Minnesota or so where the truck
definitely.
Crosses.
You pretty much lose control at that point, right?
Right.
It goes to a hub somewhere.
Well, no, I thought that was awesome. When I saw the back to print, I definitely wanted to touch on that and see, you know, what had changed and overcome.
We have the, these are the first two issues.
Ooh.
Get those in the in frame.
Yeah.
There. So we definitely needed to follow up with print on that.
Right. Because Model UN didn't have any print to start with, right?
No, but, you know, I'm still waiting on the second half of that. And it's possible that we'll do a collected print version down the road of that. If this is kind of an experiment to see how this goes.
How it's going to go. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried. Everyone's going to get their comics. But just in terms of how many we want to cost and time and how many we want to do in a year kind of thing.
Right. Because how many are you're doing at least two a year, right? Kickstarters?
No, it's I mean, in the past we've done a couple in a year, but right now it's maybe like once every 12 months or so.
Okay.
With the next issue being oversized, it will probably take a little bit more time because 45 pages is a lot to draw.
Right.
So yeah, I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, I was getting a page a week, you know, when I had my artist, and I mean, I loved that. It was perfect pacing for us. You know, ended up with like 20 or 22 pages and, you know, it's 22 weeks. It was an 8-month project from, you know, pretty much concept, getting the artist to, you know, fulfilling the book. And I was actually mailing Kickstarter out today. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was, I was jealous by all you guys who, you know, I interview that wrote a book. I wanted to write one, you know, and I was in the middle of it when we were talking last time. We're pretty much almost in the beginning.
Yeah.
We were halfway through the story I mentioned in the last episode. But yeah, so we were able to finish it and then, you know, print it. And we actually went to the print shop and actually printed it ourselves, which was really cool. I got to play with paper all day.
That's
you know,
cool.
One day, just like touch and feel. And, you know, I've got a stack over here of this thick of papers and samples. And then my daughter and I were able to actually run the equipment, like the cutters and the printers,
a unique experience.
Right.
I'm a little bit envious of you. Yeah.
It was so much fun. I actually recorded a lot of the process and I'm hoping to put together like a mini documentary. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it. And I got time to do it. I just need to do it. Right. And I don't know if I want, the problem is I don't know how to distribute it. Like I don't want to just make it another episode.
Okay.
I think it needs to be more than that. It needs to be something special, I think. So I don't know. That's what's holding me back at the moment, is figuring that out. So are you going to go back to Model UN next, or is that part it two?
It really depends. I want to finish writing issue 4 for Dead Air because okay, I know it's going to take our artist Joe Ng a considerable amount of time to get that done just because of the size of the issue. And then while that's happening, Model UN is not nearly as labor intensive from an art perspective. I'm not going to say it's a simpler book, but you know, there's no colors. So that stage isn't there. It's a smaller format and it's a manga style book. So the art is a little faster to do. So it's conceivably something that I could do while waiting for issue 4. But I really just want to get through this Kickstarter first before I get too, you know, committed to what's happening in the future, because it's going to determine a lot of how much time I have.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So how's your writing going? You finished writing issue 3, obviously. It's pretty much done.
Issue 3 was done a year and a half ago. Wow. We actually, before we went on hiatus, we had about 6 pages that had been completed art-wise. It was ready to go. We just kind of picked up where that left off. And right now, we only have a couple of pages that haven't been done. So I would think that by the end of the Kickstarter, all the inks are completed. And then it'll just be colors and lettering. At this point, half of the book is lettered and colored.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
And where are you at writing Model UN 2?
Model UN... Have you started? No, I've outlined it and I've got some pages done, but really once Joe told me he was ready to get back on Dead Air, that became the priority.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I love it. Any other secret projects you're working on?
No, I think that's enough.
That's enough. You're still writing for your day job too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's writing all the time. You can't, I mean, burnout is a real thing, right? So
right.
You got to be careful about, I've discovered that if I write more than like 5 days in a row, I just become mushy. It's no good. So like I need to have like a break where I'm not creating something out of nothing and my brain gets a chance to marinate in itself, I think.
Yeah, that's probably great advice. You know, take those couple days off. I actually did that last weekend. I took a day just and did nothing. It was great.
It's good.
It was, I've been going through, my day job went away, like our whole division got like laid off. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
A couple weeks ago.
That's very stressful.
Yeah, it was very stressful. But I was like, you know, I need one day. So I allowed myself one day to go just do nothing, sit on a porch. But it's going to be fine. We're going to double down on the podcast, do some other media creation stuff and content stuff. So we're going to try to make this happened to me before in 2009.
Okay.
And I was in a much worse position in life where I'd bought a house 6 weeks prior, then lost the job, then we lost everything. And out of that, you know, I learned to live a lot cheaper, right?
And
more financially responsible. So it's like the only debt I have is my car. And I don't have any of that, you know, as much worry as I had the last time, right?
It's easier when it's not hanging over your head, you know, when you don't have a lot of payments that are non-negotiable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have like electric water, all that kind of stuff, but who doesn't have utilities, right?
Exactly, you know.
But I'll be fine. Well, I've already got a couple little, you know, some people that I'm going to help with, or they're going to help me out and help them out. And like I said, I get to, or out of that first one, I was able to open my first hobby shop, right? And I did that for like 7 years before I got into this golf gig that I was doing. And then, so now I'm really hoping to go back into doing my own thing. And I've been working on it for over a year with this, so might as well keep it going. I'm having a blast doing it. So
sounds like a good strategy.
Buy our books. support us so we can pay our electric bills. Go to the Kickstarter right now. Buy his book. So this will air on Tuesday. So there'll still be like 7-ish days left. So go back it now.
Yeah, it's the best time to do it. Deadaircomic.com. You can always find the book there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Dead Air. Let me make sure I add that to the show notes. Deadair.com. Perfect.
Deadaircomic.com.
Comic, sorry.
Yeah.
See, that's why you're here to correct me. Where else are your other books available?
Currently, you can get Code 45, our first graphic novel, through this Kickstarter as well. We're offering a digital version. Yeah, it's not currently in print. We were working with, we had a contract with Scout Comics, and they are absolutely horrible to work with. And
I think you mentioned that the last time.
And since the last time we talked, I've had a lot of other creators reach out to me about their horrible experiences with Scout Comics. There are people who are in way worse shape than we are, where they have a book that the Scout refuses to release completely. So they have a contract, and they can't sell their book, even though in theory they own the intellectual property. It's the same thing that happened with us. It's funny how Scout will point to the contract when it's convenient for them, but with us, they refuse to pay us royalties. They keep selling our book, even though our contract's been up for 2 years. You know, they're a really bad part of the independent comic scene, and it's sad that they're able to, you know, prey on creators who are operating in good faith. And it sucks that so many, I wish that we were the last ones, you know, and it's just not like that. So every 2 or 3 weeks I get another email from someone with a story that's similar or worse that what happened to us. I don't understand how they're still in business, but yeah,
I don't get that. I've been trying hard. Like, I know with, I got lucky because I have a friend who owns a print shop, right? That's how I was able to go and, you know, sit there for 2 days to play with paper and play with equipment, right? You know, but people that don't have that and have to rely on, it's just way too scary to send your files off and risk.
We've had good experiences with printers here. We usually print in the Toronto area. There's a company called Sure Print and Design that's done some really good work for us on comic books and very affordable. Actually, I forgot to mention that if you're in the Montreal area, Montreal, Quebec, you can always get copies of Dead Air at Crossover Comics. They're always in stock. We actually sold out just last month, and I had to bring some new stock in there. And they're a great shop. They're actually the shop that got me into comics as an adult in my 30s. We were talking about that last time.
Yeah.
But that's the one that they piqued my interest and got me back into it. So shout out to Crossover. Really great people. And I mean, even if you're not interested in my comic, they have every comic you could possibly want. So stop in there and check it out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love comic shops that support, you know, local creator, or not even local, but indie creators, right?
Yeah, they're very good with that.
That's all. That's my retirement plan down the road, is open a little indie comic shop. I'll carry Marvel and DC, but it's mainly going to be just all indies, stuff people never heard of, and that they're going to be discovered in that comic shop.
That's cool.
That's awesome, man. Is there anything else before we jump into the fun questions?
I mean, I think that for Dead Air, if you love music, if you love 90s music in particular, you're going to like this book. We have some fun stuff in the Kickstarter where I did a Dead Air radio show here locally on FM radio for about a year and a half. And there's a tier where you can pick up we have a 3D printed cassette, and it's in a cassette case with a J card and everything. And it's designed by Angela Hodge, who's the designer on the book. She's also a product designer in her day job. And there's a download code that comes with that reward. It comes with the tape, and you get 10 episodes of Dead Air Radio. And a lot of it is done in this as though it's the radio station from the comic book with the same type of music. So that's a lot of fun. We also have some
really
play.
Cool.
Yeah, we wanted to have fun with that. And we have another tier where you can, in addition to getting the book, we'll send you a random 90s CD. So it's pulled from the records, the radio library of our fictional radio station, CJNK. And it could be Kenny G, it could be Pearl Jam, it could be Tool, it could be Mariah Carey, you don't know. But it's guaranteed to have been released between 1990 and 1999. So that's kind of a fun roll the dice aspect of it.
I have to do that now. So only because my daughter has recently discovered like CDs.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She wants them. And I'm like, I'm not buying CDs. Like, I have Apple Music, right? Like, I don't need to buy a CD anymore in my life, right?
Physical media is fun, though. You know?
It is.
It's the printed comic book of our world.
All right, I see it. So we get issue 3, digital swag bag, and the 90s CD.
Yeah. So we have that for the third issue, and then if you want to grab all three, I just added a tier for that as well.
Oh,
because
perfect.
A lot of people were asking, and I was like, you know what? I'll throw that in there, too. But
I definitely want all three.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I've been acquiring 90s CDs over the last year with this in mind. Like every time I'm out shopping somewhere, if I could snag something from the that's like decade appropriate, and I've got a stack of them just ready to send out.
That's going to be fantastic. August 2026. That's when it's coming.
That's the plan. Yeah. If I can get it done before then, that would be great. But, you know, that's hopefully when everything will be sent out.
So this is all. No, this isn't all three of them, is it? Is this all three and the CD for $50?
I'm not sure what it is in U.S. dollars. Because Kickstarter. What's that?
It says 75 Canadian.
On the sidebar or on at the bottom, because we don't have the. I just put it on there, so there's not a good illustration of the tier yet.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, if you scroll down, it's you see where it's where we have number 3 swag bag and 90 CD, and then it is, I believe, two down from that. So it's $60 Canadian.
I'm scrolling.
You're scrolling.
$60. All right. 1, 2, 3, swag bag, 90 CD, 60. So it's only $44 US, because it actually tells me, it says CA 60, and then it says about $44.
Nice. So nice. The US dollar is pretty strong right now. So that's to the benefit of US based collectors, I think.
Right. All right. We're gonna highlight that. So
thank you.
We're going for that. I need the 90 CD for my kid. Even though I don't even know if I have a CD player. Like
your car might have one. A lot of them
it
do.
It doesn't. Not my no? car. My, all right. My wife's car might still have one.
I feel like the currently, so I work in automotive, right, with yeah. a lot of my writing. And I think that of all the new cars out there, the Subaru WRX, you can still order a CD player as an option. It's like on the list, but they made it really expensive because I think they're trying to discourage people from doing it.
Right. Because they had to, oh man, that was more wires they got to add to the car.
Yeah,
and all that.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just there to plug
three
in.
More screws or something like that. <It's> like, yeah.
So WRX, if you want a CD player, folks.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how you would do that. Used to, I remember when. You know, CDs became a thing and you had the little cassette to your Walkman CD player. Yep. You had to put the cassette in and it would play your CDs. Oh, man.
And then there was the little, you remember the little FM broadcasters?
Oh, yeah.
Were those, and then you would tune to like 87 point something and it would like, you'd have to have it close to your antenna.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd have to hope there weren't any stations in your area that overpowered the limited range of frequencies that the broadcaster had. Yeah.
I remember that exactly. Yeah. So go into that. You said you ran the show yourself, like physically at your college. Was this at college? Or?
Well, so in the 90s, I was a radio DJ in college. I started actually when I was 16. So I was in high school and I went to a local university and somehow convinced them to give my friend Corey and I a show 8 o'clock on Friday nights. We did 2 hours of pretty much anything we wanted. It was a very eclectic type of music programming. A lot of fun. I learned a lot. I did that for a number of years. And then when I moved out to where I am now, I was in Montreal. I lived in Montreal a long time. Now I live in the countryside, excuse me, in a small town. And there is a community radio station out here on the FM dial. And I started doing a dead air radio show for them about, I want to say I started in 2024. And it was a blast. I was doing exclusively 90s music for the most part. And like I said, in the genres of the dead air characters, what they would play. So I'd have like a goth show and a metal show and a techno program and a Brit pop show. And it was interesting because it really forced me to like go deeper on music. I'm a huge fan of music. Most of my books are music related, but it was challenging to not just play the same bands over and over, the ones that I like from the decade, right? So I'd had to start researching and branch out and find new sounds and new music within genres. And that was an interesting challenge for me. So I enjoyed doing that. I wish I had the time to keep doing it. I unfortunately did not. So you have to pick something sometimes something has to go, and it ended up being that, but I still have all the shows. So very happy to be able to use those with this Kickstarter.
That's pretty neat that you got to keep all the recordings of the show and stuff. That's been the worst thing in my life is I've always struggled discovering new music.
And tough.
If I find a new music I like, it would take me forever. Like there's a lot of music I love, but I could not tell you 90% of them, I couldn't tell you who sang it, you know, who the band was or who the singers were, you know, I, no clue. I've been horrible at that. I listen, that's why I get stuck. I'm stuck in like the 60s folk music era, so, which is fine. Since the last time you were on the show, has there been any comics that have stuck out to you, like current comics that you
read? I got a couple I can shout out. I started reading Linda Barry, and I'd never read her before. She started working, I think, in the 70s and worked right up into the early 90s. I think she's still doing stuff, but the stuff I was reading is mostly like 80s into the 90s. And it's a lot of books about a teenage girl and her sister living in a small town, going to school. And I'm amazed by how relatable it all is, like the emotions that this girl's going through and the struggles that you have as a teenager. And it's written about teenage life, but it's written for adults in the sense that you're kind of looking back and understanding the feelings that were going on then. And it's extremely poignant. And all of her work is incredible. So I've been going through a bunch of collections of her stuff. And then just recently, I read a book by, I can't remember the name of the creator, but I picked it up on Kickstarter. It's called Laser Joan and the Ray Guns. And apparently it was a series that was done several years ago and was intended to be picked up, and it never happened. Like, it was put out by a major publisher. They ended up killing it after like 3 or 4 issues, but they got the rights back and they were able to put it out on Kickstarter. And it's about someone who's a secret agent who, in the past, she used her cover in the band with her bandmates to do various missions. And it's kind of a balance between her past and then her present, where she's obviously older, but she's gone solo. And part of it is because she didn't want to put her bandmates at risk anymore. They all had lives of their own, and she was just kind of pushing on. And I really wish they'd continued the series, because I read that recently and I was blown away. It was really fun. And it's not easy to depict music in comic book form. And I think that the creators who are able to do that, like specifically performance, music performance, like on a stage or whatever, it can be tough. But the Laser Joan and the Ray Guns really did a good job. And there's one more person I want to shout out to.
Sure.
Shelley Bond. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was an editor for Vertigo and a bunch of other imprints for decades. And she's been putting out a series of books on Kickstarter, but also through her own press. I'm trying to find the name of the press right now. Cause I just picked up a book from her. I can't remember, and I can't, it's not showing here, sadly, but she does books about creating comics, and she create, they're basically comic books about creating comics, and she collaborates with numerous people, like artists, writers that she edited when she was, you know, actively editing. They all come together, they provide tips, they provide stories, she pulls everything together. She works with new artists on presenting this information in a really intriguing way. The one I just picked up is called, it's called 100. It's an FAQ on making comics, but she has some really great books about she was in college radio in the 80s, and she has a book about going through that and then discovering comics. And she has a book about starting out in the comics industry in the 90s and what that was like for her and what her career was like, and then moving into the 2000s and broadening that. And, I recommend all of them. Like, they're great reads. If you're just starting out in comics, it really gives you a lot of useful help about putting a book together and what works and what doesn't. And if you're already knee deep in comics, it's someone else's perspective.
Right.
Someone who's been in the trenches and is really great at communicating how to improve your craft. So all of Shelley Bond's work, I'm trying to find the name of the press here.
It's very interesting because, like, you and I talked about this the last time. It's like, I don't feel like a writer. I mean, it's getting better. I'm starting to feel like a writer now because
good. Glad to hear that.
The book's on the wall right above me.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
7 covers, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so, I mean, I literally wrote something. It's alive. So I'm getting better. But I'm like, now I'm like, I have stories in my head now. I didn't have this before. This is not right. So, like, I'm working on the script for another issue. Like, mine's a one shot, right? So I'm doing a series of one shots. And but yeah, so I'm always looking for stuff like that to make it better. And, you know, I already feel like this script's 100 times better than my first script. So
that's
I'm
only cool. Like, that's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. I found the name of the press.
It's what is it?
Off Register Press. So you can look that up online. And her and her husband, Phil Bond, they put out a bunch of books together and just great
stuff. I'm going to reach out to her. I'd love to have her on the show. That'd be kind of cool. Give her perspective of that, you know, creating comics, right? That'd be cool. Off Register Press. I will check those out for sure. Because, you know, we can all get better. We can all learn. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So I have, you know, just my fun questions here.
Okay.
What comic character would you trust to watch your house while you're gone?
Watch my house? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to come home to any snacks, but, you know, your house is going to be there when you get back. Right. That's awesome. What? This one's fun. What comic villain do you secretly agree with?
Oh, I don't know.
I actually put a reel out about this the other day, and it got a crap ton of comments.
I'm sure. I'm trying to think of a villain that I agree with that isn't going to make me sound like a monster. You know, like...
Yeah, some of the answers were Magneto. Some people on the comments said Dr. Doom, which kind of surprised me because the current Dr. Doom, for sure, a lot of people agree with. You know, not the Doombot part, but
this is really tough. I think we're going to have to come back to this one.
All right, that's fine. We'll come back to it.
Let it percolate.
Yep, that's fine. Let's see here. I'll make a note. What comic would actually be the worst? Or I'm sorry. So I asked you before, you know, if you could live in any comic book universe, which one you'd live in? Which one do you think would be the worst to live in?
You know, maybe the one from The Watchmen.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though, like, you and I both lived through that in the sense that it's like, it's about the Reagan era and the Thatcher era, right? And we were alive. We were kids, but we were alive, you know? But I think it's about I think it sharpens that era quite a bit with the whole, like, extending Nixon's presidency and all that stuff. Like, it's, I just feel, the reason I give that as my answer is there's so little hope in that, that world. And I think that that would be hard to live with. Yeah,
I just picked up the 6x9 version of The Watchmen to read the comics. I've seen the movie a billion times. I love that movie, but I'm interested to read the comic. But I got a lot of Thor comics back here that I've been reading. So I've been reading all the omnibuses and stuff, like one a day. I try to start it at the beginning. It's been a lot of fun.
Nice.
So the last time you were on, the last question I asked you was, well, it was the second to last, but if your life were a comic book, what would the title be? Your answer was "Don't Tell Me How It Ends." Would you change that at all?
No, I'm still good with that. I'm still good with that. Still good with not knowing. Yeah,
right. I was like, man, because I go back and watch those when I have a repeat guest, and I was like, he's not going to change that answer. But I think that's fun to do those questions. They're kind of like just like the next iteration of the last questions, right? So that was kind of I'm enjoying having. It's only been a few repeat guests, but it was something else I added while you think about your secretly villain you're agreeing with. Another cool thing I added, so like when you do like launch your next project and stuff, if you don't want to do a full episode like this, I would love to have you pop in. To accommodate more people, I let people that have been on before pop in with my daughter and I on Thursday nights.
Okay,
we record our show. And that's been a lot of fun having them pop in, and then they get to play like the little games that Annika and I play. So you get to join in and then talk about your stuff. So you're more than welcome to do that at any time too. So
okay, I'll keep that in mind. That's cool of you to make that offer. I appreciate that.
So I do it with repeat guests, you know, that have not been, you know, and I've done it. I'm doing it a couple times with new people, but it's people I know.
Yeah,
like that I've met before, because I just, you know, I don't want to bring a brand new person on, really, that's with my daughter that I don't really know, you know, a lot. I don't do that often. So, all right, you got to Google your villain that you're going to secretly agree with.
Okay, I was actually just doing that.
I was joking.
In my mind Google.
Okay.
I'm mind Googling it. I think I'm going to go with Catwoman.
Ooh, okay.
Because, like, she got screwed over. All the, like, her origin story is not great, you know? And I think she's justifiably angry. So I think I could get behind that. And Catwoman's not going to steal from me. No. I'm not a billionaire playboy, you know? So there's nothing. I'm okay with her. Yeah. Well, I'm okay with her taking from the rich. It doesn't bother me at all. So, yeah, I'm going to support that. I'm going to get the Catwoman train.
I like that. What era Catwoman was your favorite?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Julie Newmar, always a classic from the from the Adam West Batman. That's a fun, campy version of Catwoman.
They have like the coolest versions, I think. Like, they all stand. They still stand today, Mike.
That character design on that show was really good. As campy and ridiculous as it could be, like, we're still remembering it, you know. So that 100%. Really shows you. I could picture almost all of the villains. Which is wild. I haven't watched that show in decades,
right?
You know, but it's still there in my mind.
I agree. I love all the, you know, they had a great Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer, of course, from my childhood. Yeah, you know,
I don't think I would pick the Halle Berry one because, I mean, I don't know. She had a good origin story in that one too, but the movie itself is not great.
Yeah, not great.
But like, she has the righteous anger in that one too. Although I think they did her dirty. I don't think they gave her enough of a character to really do anything with.
Right.
Although I do love the fact that, you know, she showed up for her Razzie Awards and was like gracious about it. Back when we were still okay with insulting people's work in a public place. Like, I'm glad that that's not something that happens very much anymore. But yeah, she's a good sport.
That's awesome. Well, man, I really appreciate you, coming on.
No, thank you.
You know, you're like I said, welcome to come back on a Thursday episode if you're free on a Thursday and got something else coming. Or, of course, we can do another full episode on the next project, too. Go back, Dead Air, number 3. Get the catch up tier with the CD and the swag bag. If you're in America, it's $45. So if you're in Canada, it's only 60. So Canadian. Is it called? They're dollars, right? Canadian dollars?
Canadian dollars.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Same symbol, just different. Market, I guess. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been to Canada. So, but hey, man. Well, again, thank you so much for coming. Stop by anytime, and you know, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
We don't just talk about comics; we made one,
and it's called the Chronicles of Pam and Pete.
At Talking Comics, we interview creators, show off our comic calls.
Play fun games and show what we're learning firsthand.
Get a free peer view of the Chronicles of Panel Pete by subscribing to our Substack.
Watch the trailer and all the video episodes on YouTube.
Or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow along, like, subscribe.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.